So throughout the 20th century, the Hackney Trades Council was in constant opposition to all forms of fascism and racialism. All the way through, there was lots of riots in the 1930s against Oswald Mosley, who was very active in the East End, and his return in 1947. And they did, lots of demonstrations against the far right up until and through the 1960s. And there's a picture of a Ridley Road, and kicking on the Kingsland Road. And they also, as they had a campaign against the rise of racist propaganda in the media, including a campaign against the Hackney Gazette as well. And the communists were very successful in the post-war period, and they actually returned elected members into the council in 45 and 49. So they're quite a powerful force in Hackney in the 1950s, and actually they sort of moved away from mainstream Labour, and the communist leadership sort of became very mistrusted, even by the Trade Union Council, and they actually disaffiliated the Hackney Trades Council because they were too radical and seen as being too disruptive. So they were both basically disbanded for being difficult and radical. And this actually led to the Trade Union Council, the national organisation, to change its rules to include all communists. But this is the time of the Cold War, so you can kind of see why this might be a little bit difficult. So the Hackney Trade Board was recreated minus the communists in the 1950s. And this is around the time when Hackney Council itself, in 1957, the local authority, they formed a Hackney Committee for the abolition of nuclear weapons. And this was very much supported by the Hackney Trades Council. And this later became the branch of the CND. And they became a great movement of peace in Hackney. And this is actually represented in the 1985 mural that's on Hackney. If you come out of Dawson Junction Station, see it's all been beautifully conserved by the council. It's directly opposite the archives. You can go and see that. And there's a nice picture there. And if you look closely, there's some really interesting pictures of America and Russia and bombs and things like that. It's worth going to look. So the Hackney Trade Council, when they celebrated their 75th year, they also commissioned an exhibition that represented women's work. And this led to the formation of a photographic collective called the Hackney Flashers. And this is a group of mostly socialist women. And there's been a recent exhibition, actually, at Chatham Palace as part of the East London Photographic Festival of their work. And they do lots of exhibitions to do with women's rights, which travelled the world but were so successful. And in the 1970s, the Hackney Trade Council, it began to focus on campaigns around breaking down racial prejudice and inequality, and not only in the workplace, but across society. And they worked alongside such institutions as the Centreprise Bookshop and Publisher, who supported very radical and alternative activity and culture in Hackney. And perhaps it was the hard work and collaborative efforts of such progressive groups that paved the way for another Hackney first, which was the return of the first black female MP in 1987. That's a great picture. So, moving away from campaigns of justice and politics to a campaign of remembrance and an example of how Hackney was not afraid to do things differently. The Hackney Way. So when the Great War was approaching its height of horror in the Western Front in 1916, people back home were already beginning to think about how on earth the nation was going to mourn this disastrous war. And George MacLeod, who was the manager of the Hackney Empire, he was inspired by an idea from South London to build a home for disabled returning servicemen. And so he began this very long campaign to reach his aim. And Hackney Council actually were on board quite quickly with George's campaign, and they had these grand ideas about building 100 homes for servicemen, but the idea was scuppered because of lack of money and the war was rolling on. But George, however, he continued his campaign on regular weekend penny drives and raised lots of money from the local people. And after the war, the council, having established their War Memorial Committee, the council's Labour Committee, they made the very emotive decision to make George's campaign a reality, and they adopted a home, the Home for Disabled Servicemen, as Hackney's official war memorial. So this certainly was different. Elsewhere in the country, what boroughs were doing is collecting names, collecting nominated names and inscribing them on a monument or building a statue. That's not what we did in Hackney. So the grand opening of the Hackney's War Memorial was set to place on the 20th of October 1923. It included a royal visit and military bands, and there was a ticketed grandstand. And the press reported that the memorial homes represented the people of Hackney expressing their gratitude to all the men who served, whether they lived or died, and the opportunity to do just a little something for those who served and are still with us. And that this memorial offered some practical support to those badly disabled men to have a brighter and a happier time in the future. And I came across a press cutting in the archives, and it recorded the speech delivered by the Hackney mayor. And he claimed that Hackney is the only borough to put up a fitting and proper war memorial. While others put up elaborate statues, Hackney recognised that the only thing that they could put up was a home fit for heroes. And I'm not saying that that was a boast, but Colonel Fenton Jones, who's in that picture there, he looks quite impressive. I haven't yet been able to prove that Hackney was the only borough to do this, but on the other hand, I haven't been able to disprove it either. But what I can say is that the residents were certainly proud to deliver what they felt was a fitting memorial, and were happy that it was a different type of memorial, that it focused on those that survived rather than those that had gone. I suppose, a way of dealing with that. And it did indeed set a trend, because memorial homes of this kind became very, very popular after World War II. And even today, the Hackney residents can be proud of Hackney's War Memorial homes, because instead of fading names, it continues to provide a home for returning disabled veterans. So just to conclude, I just want to say that heritage is about establishing that sense of belonging, being inspired by a place to contribute to its development and celebrate its achievements. So Hackney is a place that likes to stand out from the crowd, a trendsetter, a place where campaigns for change and social justice have taken place and will continue to do so. So if you identify with that heritage, take it, use it, improve on it. Thank you.
And if you're in Hackney and you see